Hello, Clark. How are you doing?
Hey, Steven. I'm just dandy. How are you?
I've been better, not gonna lie. As seems to be a recurring theme on this show, we've had more technical issues. My side this time, just spent like 45 minutes trying to fix it and ended up rage quitting and setting up an entire second setup on a different computer. So I'm
fine. Been there, done that.
Yeah. Just, why can't anything just work? Clark, tell me this. Why can't anything just work?
And tell you, that's one of the mysteries of the universe.
I don't think it's really a mystery. I think it's just Murphy's Law, right? And just the universe hates you, and so...
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
Well, it's been a minute.
Yeah. It's been a little longer than anticipated for this second episode of the year.
Yeah. I mean, not as long as between our last episode and the one we just did, not the last episode, two episodes ago, and the one we just did, right?
That's true. Yeah, at least slowly closing that gap. Yeah, that was...
Yeah, slowly, ever so slowly. Well, let's just jump right into it, get this over with. We have no follow-up. So, yeah. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. And Clark... I'm not going to lie. I did a little bit of research into today's episode, but I was kind of hoping that you would just know everything since you're just the guy for this, right?
So. Sure. Yeah. So we're talking about Metamate Ra today. So,
right.
You know, if y'all have been following the podcast for longer than an episode, you'll know that I've been pretty heavily involved with Metamate, with... just really enjoying their products, to being a brand rep in Utah for a few years. And in more recent times, there's some good things developing. I'll share more as things become official, but good things heading your way for USA people that like Metamate.
Yeah, so Clark is kind of, you know, in bed with Metamate, if you will. He's a kind of a corporate shill, but I can promise that I can promise my review will still be 100% objective and honest. But yeah, so, you know, from now on, if Clark says something about Metamate, just assume he's trying to sell you something, right?
Yeah, take it with a big handful of salt. Yeah. No, but seriously, I try to be as objective as I can with mate reviews, especially Metamate. So, but I mean, if you are dubious at all, you can rely on Stevens. So,
so Metamate Ra is kind of for lack of a better word, it's kind of weird. It's a weird product. And I'm drinking it right now in a wooden gourd. You drinking it in a gourd as well?
I'm drinking it in just a calabash gourd, a round one. Nothing special. Got it in Brazil a few years ago, but yeah.
So it's weird because... I mean, while it is, you know, it's mate, meaning like it's sherba, it's erva, it comes from the Ilex paraguariensis tree, bush, whatever, the leaves are processed in a way that is completely different than any other company, any other brand. And the funny thing is, I always think it's funny because it's like the antithesis to Metamate's other craft products, right? Because Metamate is kind of known for fire and smoke and intensity, And this is literally the opposite, right?
Yeah, literally the opposite. Yeah, you couldn't get any further on the spectrum with this one.
Hence the name, right? Raw.
Raw.
So this stuff, do you know where, I assume this is coming out of Brazil. Do you know where they're sourcing the erva for Metamate Raw?
Yeah, it's not from the game family. I'm not sure the exact family it comes from, but it does come from another producer that has a lot of experience with artisanal erva production.
Okay, so it's not coming from like Barão or anything. It is coming from a smaller producer.
Yeah, and the whole production side of this one is really way different as well. Like, I was doing a little studying, you know, just to kind of brush up and kind of fill in those details that I didn't remember. Mm-hmm. They're very specific with the leaves that they pick. Like, they have to be between 6 and 12 months of age. Like, there's a very, very particular selection process instead of just cutting off whole branches. Yeah, and production's very limited to, you know, like, it's like something like 20 days a month kind of thing. And so there's... And
how do they know, like, how old a leaf is, just like the size, or
I think the size and color, and I think someone that works with it, you know, year round for years on end will know.
Sure.
Kind of like, I don't know anything in comparison, but you know, someone that, you know, has had been in mate production for a long time, they're gonna know, okay, like, this is a more mature leaf.
Yeah.
Like the, okay. Like, I remember when I was visiting the game family a few years ago, they could tell me, they picked it off. They're like, okay, so this one is, you know, probably about this old. I'm just like, how do you, you know, and, you know, they explain, and it's just like, it's just crazy. Like, if you're working with it your whole life, it's going to be something that you pick up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Naturally. Pretty nuts. Yeah. Though. Just looking at a leaf, I'm like, yes, that leaf is 13 months of age.
Right. And so it is, I mean, we can talk a little bit maybe about the cut. It's very, for lack of a better word, very fluffy.
Yeah. It's a lot of there's like big chunks of leaves, but not in the way that you would experience big chunks of leaves in any other erva or cherba.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll definitely put a picture of what the leaf cut looks like, or, I mean, you can go to, I'll probably leave a link to the Metamate website as well. Maybe I'll use one of their photos just to show what the leaf cut looks like. But it's like, I mean, I don't know if I would call it like a pure leaf, a pura folia, because that opens the can of worms, right? Like, how you can still technically have stems in a pura folia. It's in a pure leaf blend. It's just, it has to be less than like some percentage.
Right. But, right. There are stems. It's just,
right. And they're very different. They're like really thin, curly shavings of stem.
Yeah. Shavings. That's a good word. Yeah. It's like a potato peeler, you know, just right into the erva.
I just picture, well, so I want to know, like, are these stems coming from the actual like branches, or is this like the stem that holds the leaf onto the branch, right?
The branch itself.
Right. Cause in that case, then, you know, it is a stem, but it's still part of the leaf. Whereas normally the branches that you get in there are really just crunched up bits of branch right? Not just stems from the actual leaf, like running down the middle of the leaf. Because otherwise, the way it looks, it honestly looks like some guy's just standing over the production line with a pocket knife and just like whittling a stick over the yerba, right? Because it really is just like these thin little pencil shavings looking.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's kind of weird, yeah.
And then the leaf cut itself is super irregular. There's small pieces, there's big pieces. It's really just this weird, fluffy, very little powder, very kind of a dark olive green. It's definitely something that is unique, and you know, you could pick it out of a crowd if you had, you know, four unlabeled piles of sherba. You could definitely be like, oh yeah, that's Metamate Raw right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, super unique. And like,
and then
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, and that obviously extends to how it's produced as well, right? But I don't, what were you gonna say before we kind of move on to that?
Oh yeah, no, I was gonna also mention, like, even just like the aroma of it, but we can get into that when we were talking about the flavor profile.
Okay, sure.
Production wise, it's okay. So they pick the leaves, you know, they pick which ones are good, and it's a very hygienic process. It's like, it's in a very controlled, sterilized environment. They wash the leaves, and then they pick out, like, they sort through them in, you know, any leaves in there that basically like aren't up to par for you know, the Metamate Raw production. They sort out, and it's something like 5% of the leaves. And then after they've washed them, they dry them, and then they freeze them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long they freeze them for, but it's still, after they're frozen, they put them directly into, dried, but, you know, instead of a direct heat with, you know, other Metamate products, it's just, you know, kind of the smokeless drying tumbler kind of process. So they're frozen. That's a huge, huge difference. I don't think any of you have heard of any other mate being produced that way.
Yeah, because, I mean, with Shimahon, the reason that it's still green, right, is they basically, they essentially, like, if you cook, you blanch your vegetables, right? Like, your broccoli, you dip it in boiling water so that it stays green, but you do it really quickly, and they do that with fire, typically, right? They'll basically blanch the leaves in the flame so that the leaves stay that bright green. But Metamate's own kind of literature says that they stop the oxidation process, which is, you know, kind of the same thing, but they do that with the freezing and then go... And so I don't suppose, you know, like, are they using like liquid nitrogen, or do you know at all how they're freezing the leaves?
I'm not sure. In past times, I've might have known a little bit more detail. I can definitely find out though.
Yeah, that might be some good follow up for our next episode to actually see if I don't even maybe it's like a secret and that's why they don't, you know.
No, it's like a super specific.
No,
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if it was like, you know, throwing them in Ziplocs and putting them in a freezer or, you know, something.
And do you know anything about the actual drying process? Because I mean, because there's you know, there is a concept called freeze drying, right? Like you get freeze dried fruit. From what it seems like, this isn't exactly the same thing, right? They're not freeze drying the leaves. They're just freezing and then drying.
Yeah, let me, here, I have it pulled up here, so let me just,
Now, sorry to put you on the spot here.
Oh, no, I think it's good to, okay, all right, so after... They're rinsed. The moist mate is packaged in bags, weighed, and then they're put in a centrifugal machine to remove the excess water, and then it's frozen.
Okay.
So they remain moist, you know, like, they're not, like, dripping wet, but, you know, I'd say they're a little bit moist when they go into the freezing process. The mantes right. then... Yeah, so... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so they wash them, they basically put them in a salad spinner, get the water off, and then freeze them.
Yeah, yeah, an industrial salad spinner. And then, and then yeah, mate is processed and dried with a smoke-free indirect heat at temperatures below 45 degrees Celsius. So okay, we're not so... even talking about, it's very low heat compared to other processes where, you know, you're probably pushing more like, I don't know, Celsius, but, you know, 200-300 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, 45 degrees Celsius, that's a very hot summer day, right?
Yes, yeah.
like, I mean, that is very hot, but, like, that's not something that, you know, would be unsafe. That's, what, probably, like, 100 and maybe 10 degrees yeah, Fahrenheit?
That, I mean, that's having your oven on set on, like, the warm yeah. setting. So it's, yeah, very
yeah, it's 113 degrees Fahrenheit, so, yeah. Which, I mean, obviously for a human, that sounds hot, but, you know, when you're using ovens and smoke and these big industrial drums with gas furnaces, essentially, like other, you know, sherba production uses, 45 degrees Celsius, 113 degrees Fahrenheit, that is very cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's very cool. And so I think it seems like a reason for the very delicate drying process is to preserve as much of the mineral content and vitamin content as possible.
Yeah.
One of the first times I drank it, I messaged Fabrice and I was like, I feel like I'm getting like a lot of energy from this. Like, is there more caffeine? What's the deal? Because like, this is crazy. And
for those who don't know, Fabrizio is the founder of the Metamate company, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I messaged him and he actually explained that it's not the caffeine content that's higher. It's a combination of a few different things. The theobromine is higher. The mineral content is significantly higher. They did, you know, all the testing and measurements and stuff. I'm getting very technical with my English.
Emphasis on the and stuff.
Stuff. Protein content's higher. Yeah, higher theobromine and magnesium levels than other mates. So anyway, to say, theobromine, it's also in chocolate too.
Mm-hmm.
Green tea. So I think it's a combination of those. And I don't know if you've felt anything yet from this, from the raw. But, drugs.
I mean, yeah, I sure. I mean, I just barely started drinking it when we started the recording. So, you know, been going for about 15 minutes now. So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. What about you? Do you feel anything? Maybe I do. I don't know. Maybe I feel some tingles. Maybe I feel some spirits. Maybe I feel like I don't know. you're gonna have to help me out here, Clark.
feeling the spirits of mate past.
I mean, I'm trying to not talk about the flavor yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, we can so definitely start getting into that. Is there anything else that we should talk about as far as how it's produced or anything? I guess something else. It's a fairly new product on the market. I think what it's 8, maybe 9 years old. One of the slightly newer products out there, I guess. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah. And I was just going to say, kind of, you know, related to the way that it's produced and the cut, and, you know, like the minerals and the nutrients and the electrolytes, whatever, Metamate Raw is kind of in a unique position in that it's sort of advertised as an erva that you can eat, right?
Yeah, like an edible
mate. Yeah, because the texture is very kind of dry and brittle, which is usually not words you want to hear when talking about erva. You want the leaves in your erva to be like, especially with a leafy like Argentine cut, you want the erva or the sherba leaves to be, you know, pretty robust and mm-hmm. not feel like they're like dry and crumbly. But the way that this is produced, it is, with the effect being that you can put it into a smoothie, you can put it into mm-hmm. I don't know, they talk about salad. Like putting it in your soup, but your salad, whatever.
Yeah.
And like treat it like an herb in the way that you garnish food with it, and you know, that way you're getting even more of those nutrients, mm-hmm. even more of those eagle powers, and so I thought it was super interesting because you don't really ever see sherba being advertised as like, you know, you can eat this is food, whereas Metamate Raw definitely is.
Right. And I think I tried it once or twice in a smoothie, but I don't think I put enough in it, because I was like, oh, I don't know how much to put in. I don't know if it's going to completely change the flavor of my smoothie. You know, that was years ago when I was still making smoothies. but I didn't really notice anything, but also I didn't really give it enough of a try to, you know, notice anything different. Sure. But you know, you're just basically tossing in extra minerals and nutrients, so you can't really go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like you would, you know, like a green smoothie, right? You're throwing in spinach, kale, throwing a couple of handfuls of Metamate Raw.
You know,
as you do,
as one does, and with a little dressing you might not even notice the difference.
Wait, dressing in a with smoothie
you weren't talking about a salad?
No, I said green smoothie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a green smoothie doesn't taste great to begin with, so, you know.
No, they don't. They don't really, no.
Might even help.
Yeah, a little ranch dressing might help your green smoothie.
give it that, ranchiness that a smoothie needs sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's talk about what it tastes like. We are both drinking this in the traditional mate style, which, you know, may be a little not the completely intended purpose. Like I said, this definitely is marketed more as kind of a new agey health foodie type thing. So,
yeah,
you know, I feel like if you are going to brew this, I feel like the advertising kind of points you to like a French press or something. But we are drinking it in a gourd. And this is only the second time I've ever drank it, I will say. The first time was years and years and years ago. A long time ago. Probably when it was a very new product. Mm-hmm. And I remember not really liking it then. So I was a little nervous about trying it today, but
yeah, and I just had to, you know, had to push it. Like, no, man,
yeah,
try it. Gotta try it again. It's not that bad.
It is not that bad. This is an odd product, right? Because it is edible and marketed as edible. So,
like,
I feel it has a very light flavor, and I feel like that is to its benefit as an edible erva, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not gonna get any like pungent or really overpowering flavors. Like, throw some leaves in your mouth and it's going to be a light, you know, light flavor.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely reminds me a lot of other, you know, the air-dried, non-smoked Argentine, like your Kraus, those kinds of things. It definitely tastes distinct, but, you know, I would say the taste drinking it out of a gourd is in that wheelhouse. It's in that direction. It's very kind of light, very kind of cereal, a little nutty, got some grain in there. Mm-hmm. And it does have a distinctly kind of mineral finish, at least to me.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that's on the side and I've always kind of held in relation to this specific Arfa is it's kind of like an algae-like flavor.
Yes, if you've ever had like nori, right, the Japanese like seaweed for sushi, that's like salty, but like it has that kind of umaminess.
Yeah, it's umami machi.
Which again, sounds terrible. like no one wants to drink mate. It's like, oh yeah, what does this mate taste like? Yeah, it tastes like seaweed, kelp, algae. You know, that does not sound good. But it's, you know, it's just that kind of that, for lack of a better word, that savoriness, that umami, that algae or that culinary seaweed has. It's reminiscent of that in Metamate Raw.
Yeah, yeah. And I really like when you're refilling it, like there's a lot of foam that comes out. Like it tends to be a little bit on the creamier side.
Despite especially for those of you, sorry, you
go. Yeah, no, despite a low dust content.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Because normally you associate lots of dust with that foam, right? Shimahong, it's all dust, right? And so you get just big, foamy, bubble bath goodness, right? But this, I mean, it's sort of the antithesis of everything I look for in an erva normally. But it still has that foam. And people have said that, you know, that foam comes from the nutrients, basically.
Yeah, yes, extracting those nutrients. So that makes sense with it being a higher nutrient mineral content. One thing, like, is this one's tricky because you can't really go into drinking Metamate Raw if you do drink it out of a gourd. Like, you can't go into it expecting anything comparable to Shimaho. You can't really go into it expecting anything like from Paraguay, Uruguay, or Argentina. Like, okay, like there are some hints, some flavor profiles there, but overall, like if you appreciate mate and, you know, want to try something different, then this is more in that wheelhouse.
But right, like, yeah,
like I went into it thinking, oh yeah, like something like Shimaho, something like the other Metamate products, and yeah, the first time I had it was bizarre.
Yeah, bizarre is definitely a good way to put it. I mean, like if you have any experience at all with any other kind of sherba, drinking mate, and you buy this product and you look at it, you are going to be very confused because it looks completely different. It smells quite different. It tastes fairly different. Again, if you are super into like the Kraus or maybe like Eco Teas, you may be not 100% like confused. But if you're, yeah, you know, drinking Tarahui, Rosamonte, Canarias, you know, kind of let's call them your typical sherba, your typical mates, right? Then you're gonna look at this stuff and you're gonna be very confused. And I don't blame you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's yeah, definitely threw me for a loop. And even I noticed that, you know, drinking in like a traditional shaped kuya, if you put as much of this erva in that kuya as you would shimajo, like it really swells up. It absorbs the water so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, like, pretty, you know, instead of, you know, I do a good solid pour at the beginning, and, you know, a few pours later, I'm like, you know, I'm taking like half of a sip and the water's gone. Like, it's just soaked up so much of the water and grown. So, like, yeah, like on the side, it is described as something more for somebody that's a beginner and, yeah, maybe prepared in a French press, like a tea. Something more like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the gourd, it works.
It works. Yeah, just... you definitely can do it. I will say, you know, because of that, kind of what you're talking about, how it does, I think that has to go, going back, it has to do with that kind of fluffy texture, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's very just kind of light, and that big leaf shape, just there's a lot of air in there. And so once those leaves kind of rehydrate and it soaks up all that water, you know, that's why kind of it grows. But the downside I find is because there's, you know, so much air, it's so fluffy, it's, you know, it's so whatever the opposite of dense is, light, I don't know, not dense.
Light, I don't know.
It does tend to wash out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Right. If you're drinking it in a gourd, like I am maybe a third of the way into my 1 liter thermos and all of the erva is already wet and I am already starting to lose flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that is because, you know, like gram for gram, because of how fluffy it is, when you fill up a gourd like you would normal mate, you're maybe only putting in, you know, half as much because it does kind of fill up the gourd more because of how fluffy it is, right? And so, again, it's just kind of a weird oddity, and drinking it in a gourd is not probably its main purpose, but, you know, just if put it out there so that if you do buy it and you do try it in a gourd, you know, it's definitely, I would say, a feature, not a bug, that it washes out really quickly.
Yeah, yeah. And it does prepare well in a French press. I've done that a few times, and, you know, it does pack a good punch. So you can't go wrong if that's your way of making it.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, for especially the beginner drinker, I've seen this question kind of posed before, like, oh, I made mate in the morning, you know, I followed the instructions, I filled my gourd up, you know, 2/3 of the way, but I have to go to work now and I don't want to take it with me, but I feel like I barely used any of the sherba, like, but I have to like throw it away now, like, I feel like I'm wasting, is there a way for me to like recycle some of it or keep it for later? I think Meta Mate Raw is actually really great for people who kind of have that, let's call it a problem, because of the texture, how fluffy and light it is, you don't use a ton of erva to fill up one gourd. It doesn't take a ton of time to kind of finish your mate, right? You know, 300 milliliters is not a lot of water, especially for drinking mate. So it definitely lends itself to kind of a quick, maybe not potent on the flavor, but, you know, if you are drinking mate for the health effects, you know, it definitely is potent on those minerals, the vitamins, the caffeine, the theobromine. So you are going to kind of get that uplift. And I will say I am feeling the, not necessarily the caffeine, because I'm not really sensitive to caffeine at all, but I'm definitely feeling the theobromine. I definitely kind of feel that uplift.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, using very little, relatively, you know, erva, and drinking very relatively little water to get that kind of effect is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for the same effect, sometimes I would have to go through a whole liter or more to know, start to feel those effects. So
for sure.
Yeah, it packs a punch. It's solid. It's, yeah, I have like a situation. My gourd, it's like, it's all, mine is all wet now. And, like this texture is, it's really kind of bizarre.
It's, yeah. Almost, I mean, for lack of a better word, if you've ever like raked leaves in the fall and then you pile up your leaves on the side of the road, right, for like the city to come like deal with them, and like you have your big, you know, beautiful fun leaf pile you jump into, but then it rains.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. kind of what it turns into.
Yeah, the mushy leaves. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking of a metaphor that probably wasn't as good, so that I'm glad you said that.
No, I want to hear what your metaphor was going to be now.
No, I was thinking like, okay, you're down at the river or lake as a kid, and you know, and you're in the you know, the dirt, the mud on the shore, and then you're like making stuff out of, you know, kind of shaping things with the dirt and making walls of the mud and stuff, and you know, it's kind of that situation. Like I shaped a wall around like the entire inside of my gourd. Mm. with this erva.
I gotta say, I've never done that at the river.
No, you haven't done that at the river?
No.
Dang. Well, you gotta try it sometime. It's pretty cool.
I guess so. But yeah, I don't know what else to say. I feel like, I don't know, I'm used to, you know, the erva, the sherba, kind of, especially because I drink a lot of Shimajon, I'm used to kind of watching it disappear a little bit, but now, like, my gourd is just as full, if not more full, than when I started, so, like, I feel like I want to compost it or something, because I feel like I'm wasting it, because I've got this cup full of wet leaves.
Right. Yeah, I started about half of a gourd, and now I have probably closer to like 2/3, maybe.
Mm.
A little bit more.
Yeah, it's magic.
Magical mate. Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to talk about? The taste, the effects, anything else? I've never cooked with it. I've never eaten it. So I can't tell you if it if you get those same effects, make it into some brownies.
Mmm, yeah, some special brownies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else to add. I think everything that could be said about it as far as flavor and stuff, when we find out a little bit more information, more details about the production and things, we'll share that with you guys in the next episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like I want to experiment a little bit now with the raw, and I don't know, figure out some kind of food that it could possibly go with, and experiment that way. And
yeah, you do that, and then let us know.
I'll do it. I'll be the test dummy.
I didn't necessarily mean it like that. Yeah, but I mean, you know, if any of our listeners, if any of you have tried it, you know, in a gourd, in a French press, or putting it in smoothies, cooking with it, anything like that, we would love to hear what you guys have to say about the raw. I definitely feel like it's the black sheep of the metamate family. Like, I don't feel like people talk about it a whole lot. People love the oh, golly gee, what's the, is it the 24, 48, 32?
Oh, you're so close.
23. People love the 23. People love, you know, the moonshine, the gem, the toloch. But you don't hear a lot of kind of mate enthusiasts talk about the raw, which, again, makes sense because it is such a weird, different side thing that just happens to be made of the same plant. But right. I would love to hear other people's experiences with it.
Yeah, I would like to hear too.
All right. Well, I think that's gonna be it for this time. Hopefully, the next one is sooner. Hopefully, I can figure out what the expletive cuss, bleep is wrong, and can figure out how to get this working so that I don't start the recording already in a bad mood.
Right.
But, you know, a nice cup of theobromine definitely lifted my spirit. So that was actually quite nice. I'm actually not in a terrible mood anymore. So
hey, it all worked out in the end.
Right. Awesome. Well, y'all know where to reach us if you want to reach us. mateguys@gmail.com. I don't know why I suddenly lost my confidence in the middle there. But yeah, shoot us a message. Leave a review on your podcast platform of choice, and we'll catch you on the flippity flip.
See ya.